As I was saying, tonight, I got some Ula Mula to give away tonight. So I hope you pay attention, and I'll let you know when that's going to happen. I promised, I made a sheet with the three mindsets, some of the terms that we had gone over, and some of the scripture that I like to use most of all with the finances. So I have it right here. I just didn't make any copies. I'll have that for you. That used to happen to me a lot when I was in school, too. I would kind of turn things in halfway. Never did work out either. Anyway, all right, tonight's the last one. And, man, this has really gone so fast, but I want to give you a little commercial here for Mojo Training and Coaching, Mojo Ministries. I am available. I do have a couple of open slots if anybody would like some life coaching, personal training, or what I had shared earlier is I do a finance session with couples if you're interested in that. And that usually only lasts about 4 weeks and sometimes 3 weeks, depending on where you are. So you just let me know. So that's the end of that commercial, and it didn't cost near what they did at the Super Bowl. All right, last week I told you about, I didn't have the figures, I told you about how we operate and how we think that we, when our kids are 16, we go out and buy them a car, and we've done them a great service. John Henry, don't listen to this. I know you're coming up on 16, but what if instead of us buying cars for teenagers, what if we took that money and put it into a retirement account for them? So I got the figures for you tonight. I didn't have them last week, but this is the deal. If you deposit $2,000 a year starting at age 19, and do it until they're 26, every year, $2,000 from 19 to 26, if it has the average money market return of 7%, when they're 65 years old, they will have $2.3 million in a retirement account. That's incredible, isn't it? $16,000 invested by the time that they're 26, never have to make another deposit. When they turn 65 at 7%, over $2 million. But see, we don't think that way. We don't think that far in advance. Or we think that, well, if I give them that, I'm not even going to be around for them to say thank you. They'll forget I even gave it to them. I mean, we can have thoughts like that. Tonight, what I want to talk about in kind of wrapping this whole thing up is for us to really, I want to provoke each of us to think about how we view money, how we view what we invest in, how we handle it, and go forward. So tonight, the theme for tonight, this last night, is, and I want you to pay real close attention to this because this is crucial. Trust me. The theme for tonight is claim it. All right? Claim it. The first scripture that I have tonight, and I've got several, is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary and Joseph's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own home, his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. He cannot do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, everybody knows that story, I hope. But what I want to focus on was the last line. Jason, can you put that up again, please? He was amazed at their lack of faith. Think about that for us. Some of the things we've talked about this week, I've said it several times. We read about how to handle money. We go to seminars that handle money. We listen to people who tell us how to handle money. But we don't think it works. We might say that we We believe it does, but the truth is we don't really have faith in it. We don't have faith in it. Everything that I tell you is kind of like when I went through the life coaching with Ralph, and how I discovered on the positive and negative energy as he was imparting into me and teaching me how simple it is. And I tell a lot of the clients that I work with all the time, I tell them, I was sharing one today, I'm like, sometimes I almost want to just pull my hair out. Whoop, be careful. I want to pull my hair out, but I want to just say, this is the simplest thing in the world. It's a decision is what it is. It's a belief, and it's a decision. It's simple. It's extremely simple. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, what I want to focus on that right there is, see, it says in the verse prior to that, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, what I want to make sure you understand, Jesus didn't lose his ability to perform miracles. He still had the ability to perform miracles. But it's all through all his teaching. One of the elements in performing miracles by Jesus and even today is we have to believe. If you don't believe, you kill the miracle. You kill it. So I want you to hang on to that. We have got to believe. God can help us do all kinds of stuff. He can help us with all our financial scenarios and get us to where we need to be. We have to do our part, and we have to believe. Now, tonight I'm going to give you most of the plan that I talked about in the previous weeks, one step at a time. But I want to remind you of last week I shared the story with you about the scientific experiment that they did with the monkeys. Real quickly, an experiment with monkeys that was taken where they had monkeys all put in a room. They had a bunch of bananas on the top of a pole, and every time a monkey tried to climb up to get the bananas, they would knock them off with a fire hose. And so over a period of time, the monkeys got conditioned to that, and so they stopped even trying to climb and get the bananas because they knew there was no use in it. Then they would introduce new monkeys into the room who had no concept of the fire hose, and when they would try to climb the pole, the other monkeys who knew about it would pull them down and actually punish them. All right, the purpose of that story is this for us. When you try to get your finances in order, there are monkeys that will try to pull you down. Okay? There are people in your life that will try to pull you down from you trying to do what God wants you to do. Now, they're not going to necessarily do it in a mean way. A lot of time it's real subtle. But they don't want you there. They don't want you there. Because they're not there. If you get there, then they have to get there. And they've already decided, like the other monkeys, because they've been conditioned to believe that it's too hard. And that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to turn the water on. And you're going to get knocked off. So keep that in mind, okay? Because what I want for all of us in here so bad is that we understand the principles that God gives us in His Word, and we put our finances in order, which puts us in a position of strength. It puts us in a position of strength to the point that we can take care of our own and we can share with others and we become givers. Okay? That's the whole purpose of this. All right. The first part that I want to talk about tonight, though, is being a life coach. And from my experiences of being a coach for a sports team, the most important element is, anybody know? Teamwork. Teamwork. Every team that I've ever coached, I already knew before we had our first practice, the only way we're going to be successful is if we did our part, each person, we depended on the other person, we became family, and we worked together for a common goal. All right? You've all experienced where you've seen people who are team members who I was always careful of this, of not having somebody on my team that thought that they were the superstar and that they were better than everybody else, because all that does is destroy the team concept. Everybody has to understand that everybody on the team is important. no matter what. When you get that concept and you make sure that everybody on the team is important, then you can do amazing things. You can do amazing things. You have to be on the same team. Mark, my next scripture is Mark 3:25. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, one of the hardest things that happens with couples and finances is not being on the same page, not being on the same team. Now, I want you to make sure you know, I want you to know something right here. When I coached baseball teams, there were some kids on those teams that could hit really well. There were some kids on those teams that could throw really hard. Some could catch. And some of them just had one of those elements, and there were some who had a little bit of all of them. Okay? Again, to divide itself, when one person thinks that he's better than the other or is more important than the other, then it pulls the team down. Same thing with couples. Couples have different gifts. I shared with you last week that the way Kitty and I do our finance stuff is, Kitty is the budget person. She's been assigned that duty. I gave her that duty. Yes, I did. I gave her that. Look at Kitty. I gave her that because she's really good at it. She's really good at it. She makes the budget out for us of how much we need, everything that's going out, the whole nine yards, all of that. My part of it is I keep up, and we do it together, keep up with the accounts is what's in there. I pay most of our household bills through our account. So she does the budget, and I pay most of the bills out of the account, I being not my money, but you understand, as a team, we do this together. All right? Now, we're a good team because we both agree on how to handle money and when to spend it and when not to spend it. We're a good team because we make sure, here's a good element for, when you have a really good team in sports, they're able to function because one person on the team already knows what the other person's going to do. That's when you got a really good team. We function really well because we both know what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. So we do what we have chosen to do with each assignment that we have, but at the same time, we always come together knowing what we have. So we know all the time what's going on. We're on the same team in the fact that I don't and she don't. We don't go out and spend money on stuff other than grocery stores and things like that without talking to each other about it. If we need something for the house, we talk about it. We'll talk about what we need. So we function as a team, so it's critical. To be a team, couples and money, there can be no secrets. Everything has to be available. You can't stash money away from your mate. I heard Dave Ramsey talking about this one time, about couples and trying to keep their monies completely separate. And you get really detailed because Kitty and I have separate checking accounts. We have three checking accounts. All three of them have both of our names on it. But she has one that takes her music stuff through. I have one that goes my mojo stuff through. And then we have an account that we pay all our bills through for the household expenses. But we don't have secrets from each other. Dave Ramsey at a meeting one time was talking about this with couples. And he said that, you know, there's a trend nowadays where a lot of couples just keep their money completely separate. And it's not that that's totally wrong. If you're doing that and it's working for you, then fine. But he said, I want you to always think this. When you came together and became married, you became one. And he said, if you married somebody that you can't trust, you got a problem that you need to fix. And so sometimes there are other problems that you need to look into. And if that's the case, then so be it. Deal with it and get it fixed. But you have to be a team member. You have to be able to work together and not against each other. You have to have common goals. Kitty and I, when we're planning to to take a trip or to do anything, we talk about it ahead of time, and we come to an agreement of what we want to do and how long we want to spend there and the things that we want to do. So we work as a team in that way. You have to be a team and come to an agreement about credit card usage and debt in general. You have to talk about this stuff, about purchasing new cars, about any kind of big purchase. The next section, I want to go to Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom and instruction. Another version is, where there is no vision, the people perish. You have to have a vision. So you are on a journey. You're on a journey. And this is what I want you to know. But this is how we operate. You're on a journey right now. And at some point in time, no matter how old you are right now, you're going to be retirement age. Some of us are already there. But you're going to be at retirement age. You have to plan for it and have a vision for it ahead of time. In other words, wherever you are right now, if you've decided you're not going to worry about it right now, you're going to have big problems later on in life. You have to have a vision, and you have to start planning for it. And the longer you put it off, the harder it's going to become. Because I want to make sure you understand, you will be there. It's coming. It may seem far, far away, but every step you make, you're getting closer and closer. I want you to have a vision and see it before you get there. I want you to have a vision as you start planning your life. See, cars break down, cars get older, appliances get older. We want to go on trips. Have a vision for it and make plans for it ahead of time. Think about it and get ready for it. Don't wait till you get there. Picture it in your mind and create it. You have to be careful the way you talk and the way you think. When I started, when I stepped away from Delta and retired, I started Mojo. It was 7 months ago, and I am working, trying to get clients, trying to build the business, trying to get things going. What I wanted you to hear me say with this journey and how you look at things and your vision is, when somebody asks me how is it going, I don't ever say I'm struggling. I don't ever say, I wish I had more clients. I don't ever respond in the negative. I always tell people this, it's going well. It's going well. And now here's the truth, it is. Is it where I want it to be? No, but it's going well. See, I don't want to sit around and think that when I lose a client, because they come and go. Most of the times I tell people when I'm doing life coaching that it's usually a 3-month process. And some people stay longer than that, and some people, they don't make the 3 months. But they're always coming and going, so I got to constantly be working it and moving and talking to people, making myself available. But I'm always constantly saying it's going well, and it is. And I'm not telling you I'm lying to myself. I'm telling you I see it in the vision. I see it in the vision. Just so you know, I'm making enough. Kitty and I have a budget that with all my clients, I'm making enough money for budget. I'm not making enough to go out and have a lot of fun and kick it up and say everything's going so well, I got money to throw away, but I'm making budget. But I'm having a vision to have more than that, always, and that's what I'm moving toward. I see seminars. I see retreats. I see myself delivering messages to all kinds of people, so I have a vision for it, and that's what I want you to do for you in whatever you're doing. All right, we're going to get into the plan. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. You have to have a plan. That's part of the vision. You put the plan together. David Gamble makes fun of me sometimes. I use this all the time. But understand, everything works on momentum. Right, David? Everything works on momentum. the plan, this plan that I'm going to give you will work. And here's why it will work. It will work because it operates on momentum, and the momentum picks up steam with victories. The plan I'm going to give you to get your finances in order the way God wants you to have them is I'm going to break it down in several instances or ideas that you can have small victories. Because with each victory, you gain momentum. Each victory, you gain momentum. See, it operates the same thing like in sports teams. When you're in a sports team, when the season starts, if you win the first 5 ball games, there's momentum built. You start believing that you're winning and that you're going to win and you're going to keep winning. So it's important to get those victories. So the first thing that you have to do, and I'm just going to repeat this because I said it last week and the week before, you have to know where you stand. I asked you to have this done tonight. I told you you didn't have to bring it with you, but you got to get this done. You got to know what the total amount is that you have coming in each week, and you've got to know how much you're obligated to, okay? Or for the month, depending on how you work it. But you have to sit down on a piece of paper and write down everything that you're obligated to. And on the other side, you got to write down your income. Every opportunity you have for the money coming in and what it's going to be. Now, I get this question asked sometimes because some people work on commission or they work like, see, exactly the way I do. My clients change from week to week and month to month. So you have to figure out what the average is, okay, to know what your income is. That's how that works. All right? What this will tell you when you get this down on the piece of paper, it will tell you exactly where you are. It'll tell you what the truth is about your life financially, and it'll tell you a few things. One of them would be, do I need to get another job? Do I need to have a second job? Do I need to sell some stuff? By doing this first thing, by writing it down on the piece of paper, is a victory. It's the first step in the momentum. Because when you write it down and you can see it, it's real. I told you before, don't guess at it. Don't just guess at figures. Actually know what it is. If you have a car payment, you want to know what your payment is, and you want to know what the payoff is. Okay? List it all out there, and then you'll be able to tell. The second piece is you have to have a budget. And budgets scare people. It scares people. Don't let it scare you. It's a necessary part. It has to be done if you're going to do it right, all right? You have to have a budget. If you need help with a budget, I'm going to tell you what I tell all kinds of people. I know some places you can get this, but here's the easiest way. Google it. Just Google budget, and it'll bring up every website you've ever thought of that has a budget. And just go through there and find a budget that works for you, that's listed out the way you want to write it and see how you do it. If you have any trouble, you could see Kitty or myself. We can help you with it, mostly Kitty. That's who I would send you to. But there are a lot of people here. Joe could help people with a basic budget on what you would need to write down. But you got to do that. So that's the second piece, and that's the second victory, and momentum is starting to be built a little bit. The next piece is this, and see, we look at this as a negative, but it's not. But we look at it like this. The next piece is this. You have to develop a mindset to understand that you have to always, always, always live below your means. Always. Always. Means always. See, it would be impossible to save any money if you don't. It's impossible to get ahead if you don't. So when you write this down, you can start looking at things and you start working out your budget. You've got to make your budget so that you're budgeting less than what you're bringing in. Then you can save money. And when I say that, I understand you would make a budget item for savings. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But it's the third rule here that I've got for you. But see, this is momentum too. When you understand this, so many people want to operate month to month, week to week, all the time, where they don't even think about it, but you have to live your life below your means, meaning spend less than what you actually bring home. Got that? below your means. Now, the next part is very important. Is everybody participating in the envelope system that we started? Okay? Is everybody saving money? I'm going to ask this. Has anybody in here got an envelope and has not put any money in the envelope? Anybody? And it could be a virtual envelope. I got that. If you got a bank account and that's your envelope, that's okay. Anybody? Good. We can move forward. Because here's what I want to tell you, what I want you to do with the envelope. The fourth step here is, and this I realize that we have a wide range of people here, but for everybody here, every family, you need to have $1,000 in an emergency fund. Period. Holy cow. What is that song? Everybody has got to have $1,000 in an emergency fund. And we're going to build on that. We're going to do something else. And I'm going to make sure I drive this home. Everybody has to have $1,000. Okay, Jason, thank you. All right. $1,000. What I want you to do with your envelope is this. If you don't have $1,000 in an emergency fund, I want that money to be the start of creating that for you. Now, that's going to be $1,000 that's going to be set aside that you're not going to touch except for, David, an emergency. Exactly. It's not for you to go take money out of for something else to go out to eat. That's not an emergency. It's not to go buy a new set of golf clubs. That's not an emergency. I know it could be, Papa, but it's not to go buy a new pair of shoes or a rod and reel or go on a vacation. Hey, sorry, Buren. It is $1,000 set aside for emergency only. Now, what's an emergency? All right? If you have an automobile, you are going to need tires. And if you haven't bought tires lately, they're expensive. Okay? The $1,000 when you need tires is to pay for the tires. Then you don't have to put it on Visa. And once you pay it out, you do what you can, working again to get $1,000 back in there. Because after you get new tires, you know what's going to happen? What? Septic tank goes out. Got to have that cleaned out. It happens to some really good people. And when it does, we got a long story about that. But here's the good news is we had the $1,000. We had the $1,000, okay? And so then you put it back. So I want everybody, if you don't have $1,000, that's what the envelope is for. Build a nest egg for emergency fund of $1,000. Keep putting money in it and see what this is. It's a victory for you. It's momentum. Because a lot of you, maybe has anybody in here never had $1,000 saved up? Don't raise your hand, okay? Don't raise your hand. But a lot of people haven't. I told you in the first one that the statistics are that 3 out of 4 people have 0 money in a savings account. Nothing. Nothing. It will do something for you when you have $1,000 set aside for when you need tires. It will do something for you. It will build momentum. It's a victory for you. So if you don't have $1,000, that's what I want you to use that envelope system for. If you do have $1,000 already in an account somewhere, what's in the envelope for you? If you have any other debt, whatever you've put in that envelope, pay the debt. Because that's where we're going to go here in just a minute. We're going to kick that stuff to the curb and get rid of it and get it out of your life. Make it disappear. Amen. And when you do, there'll be a lot of that. So if you already have $1,000 saved up, whatever's in the envelope, keep saving there, is we want to put that toward any kind of debt. And I'm going to get to that because we list the debts. And we did that last week, and we're going to talk about that some more. Now, if you already have $1,000 and you don't have any debt, and this is what everybody wants to do, have fun with it. whatever you've put in the envelope, have fun with it. What is that? I could tell you. I want to give you a couple of ideas here. Give it away. Give it away. Put something extra in the offering bucket on Sunday. You got it, extra. Save some, have fun with it. Just be creative, but have fun with it. Have fun with it. I know there have been some times where Kitty and I have been out, and Dave Ramsey uses this a lot too, and I've not done it to his level, but sometimes when we are out and a waiter or a waitress does a really good job, we leave them a crazy tip, sometimes more than what the bill was for the food. That's fun. That's fun. When you can leave that and walk out, and you don't get to see the reaction or anything, but you already know. You already know that was good for them, because they come and the bill was $30 and there's $60 laying there and the people are gone. Have fun with it. Find somebody that needs something. Help them. Buy something for somebody. Make somebody's day. Send somebody flowers. Give somebody a gift. Do something for somebody. It'll be a victory. And it continues the momentum, okay? Now, we had the money going because it is now time to give away some cash. We're going to stop right here, right in the middle. Woo! All right. Here's what I want to do. There's going to be four opportunities here. And I am in charge. Is there anybody in here, in your envelope, that has saved less than $50 in the 7 weeks? You got to be honest now. Anybody that has saved less than 50? You got 40? Less than 50? Put that in the envelope. Okay? Add that. All righty? And see, Jim, for Jim, wherever he is, if you already have $1,000 saved up and you have no debt, do something with that money for somebody. Okay? Do something with that money for somebody. All right? Anybody here that saved $100 or less in the 6 weeks? Raise your hand. Okay? Here's a gift for you. Now, the catch is for this, isn't this easy? Some of you are missing out. Put that in your envelope. See, that's the catch. Don't put gas in your car. Don't go buy something to eat tonight. Don't do it. Put it in the envelope. All right? Now, if you, same thing for you, if you already have $1,000 and you don't have any debt, then do what you want to with it. Give it away and enjoy it, okay? All right. Only two more opportunities. All right. Is anybody in here saved over $200 during this time period? Raise your hand too. There you go. Put that in the envelope. All righty. Now, I want to tell you where this money came from. It came out of my envelope. This is my money. This was from my envelope that I have had saved. I already have my $1,000. I don't have any more debt. I'm doing what I like to do with it. Okay? Now, here's the last one, and I want you to remember what I said. When we started this, I told you that my theme for tonight is claim it. And that is my theme. Now, this last one is a big one. $50. $50 bill. What should happen to it? Excuse me? You might want to come up here and do that. Don't be scared. Claim it. Claim it. You're welcome. You're welcome. And the same thing goes for you. I know you and Joe are struggling. You don't have your $1,000. Enjoy it. Now, the theme tonight is claim it. And that's what the $50 there was for. I wanted to make that a visual for you. Because putting all this together, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is what she just did. Ask how to claim it. All right? Come get it. It's that simple. It's that simple. All of these fundamentals of how to start putting things together is the way that it works. I told you in the first one, you don't have to have a doctorate's degree. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have a high school degree. You just follow these fundamentals, and it will work. And you will be prosperous. And you will be in a position where you can give money to people. That's all you got to do. I was telling somebody today when I was talking about this, anybody ever said this? I remember when I was in high school, boxing was a big thing. And, you know, at that time, it was going crazy with what they would pay people for their boxing matches, you know, millions of dollars. And I know I was one of them who said, I'd get in the ring with Muhammad Ali for $1 million. Sure I would. Hit me. I would be willing to do that. Anybody else ever thought that? David, you ever thought that? Any of that stuff? Yeah. It's as simple as that. It may be a little bit painful, like a hit from Muhammad Ali, as you begin. But once you get in there and you go ahead and take your lick, man, payday comes. Payday comes if you just stay with it. All right? So, I want to make sure I covered everything on the $1,000. So the idea is, everybody understand that? We want to get to where we have $1,000 in an emergency fund. All right. Tonight I want you to make the commitment to stop using credit. Make the commitment to stop using credit. Now, when I say that, if automatically in your head you say, no way, Jose, that's okay. But you're not following the fundamentals. Because see, as long as you use it, it will bite you. It will absolutely bite you. Everybody knows how it works. You can do it for a while and everything seems good. I want something. I got a card. Go get it. This is good. This is good. Over a period of time, it will bite you. Make a commitment doing things the right way to stop using credit. Pay for everything. It can be done. That will be a victory if you make that commitment. Remember what I said earlier, you got to be a team. Got to be on the same team. If one of you disagree with that, just keep working together till both of you get on the same page. All right? Get on the same page. All right, last week I told you that you need to make a list of all your debts, credit card amounts, personal loans, car loans, leases, student loans, mortgages, anything that you have. And you got to make a list of those. And the idea here is, this is what Dave Ramsey used. Most of you probably heard of that. It's called the debt snowball plan. So you make the list of all your debts, and you work towards paying the one that you owe the least off first. Okay? Pay that off first. Make minimum payments on the rest of it. Throw every other thing you got to get that one out of the way. Once you get that one out of the way, you move to the next one, whatever it is. You do everything you can to pay that off quickly. All right? What you have paid on the first debt, see, those payments are now available to roll it into the second one. So you got more money to put in the next debt and keep rolling that in. And that's how it works. Go up the line, no matter how much debt you have. When you have them listed out, if you got 10, you just work them that way. 10, 9, 8, 7, and keep working on it. So you pay minimum on all of them except for the one you're working on. And on that one, you pay as much as you can on it every month. Does that make sense? Anybody got any questions about that? Or disagreements? Disagreements can lead. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So you make a list, and that's how you're going to start working it. Now is when you start feeling victories really big. You already got $1,000 saved up. You got that set aside for emergencies. Now you're working really hard to get debt out of your life. Get it out of there. Get rid of it. You're going to be amazed at how much money you actually have. So there's the victory. Every time you knock a credit card off, every time you knock a student loan off, every time you knock a car payment off, it's a huge victory. And it's in the ring with Muhammad Ali. You're going to feel it in the chin because you got to be disciplined at it and you got to work at it, and it's going to hurt because you have to stop some stuff while you're doing this. But if you will stay committed to it and work it for a short period of time while you're in the ring, like I said, payday's coming, but you got to keep working it, okay? Make the commitment. The next one is, excuse me, once we get debt free and we knock all of our debts out, and yep, I am talking about cars as well. Cars as well. Now, there's a couple of ways of doing this, all right? And sometimes you just have to swallow your, remember what we talked about in the first couple of weeks, your pride, that's a bad pride? You might have to sell the car that you got to get out of debt in it. You might have to. It's a small price to pay. It's actually a small price to pay. You might have to sell that and then get another car that you can actually pay for. And hear me now, because this is what Dave uses all the time too. He says, you have to live like no one else so that you can live like no one else. See, if you want to get to where you want to be and really have the abundant life God wants you to have, you've got to go through this because you created it. All right? You created it. Nobody's mad at you, but this is a way to get out of it. You got to methodically make them disappear. So you have to drive a car that you can actually afford to pay for. And you want a really nice car? It's coming. It's coming. If you keep doing the right things, just like we're talking right here, over a period of time, then you'll get to the point where you can buy that really nice car and pay for it. But that's how it's built, okay? So you may have to sell a car. You may have to sell some other stuff, whatever it is that you have debt on, to get rid of it. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. That's after you get $1,000 saved up. Yes. The $1,000 is an emergency fund that's for emergencies only. That's a cushion so that while you're paying off debt, when you have to have tires, you don't have to go back in debt to get the tires. You got it over there. And so let's just say you had to pay $500 for tires, okay? Then you would stop the snowball, put $500 more into the envelope to where you got it back to $1,000, then pick back up on the debt again and start that process over again, smallest to largest, okay? Does that make sense? But you always want to keep the $1,000 in there for emergencies. So now, and see, the next step is once we pay off of the debt, and we get that out of our life, we have $1,000 for emergency. Now you're in a position to where you can actually start saving. And what Dave Ramsey recommends is that you save at least 3 months of expenses for emergency. So now your emergency fund is going to go way up. But you're able to do it. And the reason it's going to go way up is because life does happen. The 3 months of expenses, at least that, is in case you lose your job. In case you lose your job. I know Delta just went through it not too long ago. There were guys that had been there, what, Brandon, over 20 years that lost their job. You don't ever know when that might happen. But see, this is the whole idea, is to be prepared for life when it comes. That's what this is for. So the next step is to work towards building up a nest egg that's a 3 month emergency fund that'll be much, much larger. And pretty much that's the plan to get out of debt and start. Once you get there is when you could talk to people like Joe, somebody else who can help you understand about investments or put you in the right people to really start building money at that point in time, okay? But that's the basics to just get out of debt and get your finances in order. Does that make sense? Any other questions about any of it? What about vacation? Until you can pay for it. See, here's the deal. That's a good question, too. Because, see, it's important to people. It is. I'm sorry, I'm answering this one right now. Oh, okay. Huh? Okay. Okay. I'll be glad to. You let their grandparents take them on vacation. No. Nope. See, but this right here is what holds people back sometimes, is that thought and that mentality. It's a good question, but see how we entertain that question and we start reasoning in our mind, thinking it's not going to work. Not going to work. Because what we say to ourselves is, I got to give up vacations. No, you don't. Only for a season. Only for a season. You may have to, and you may not. You may not. You have to be creative with what you do on vacation. You have to be creative. I can tell you this. As a kid, I enjoyed some of my best vacations. We didn't really take that many, but some of my vacations were camping by the river and fishing, okay, where we didn't go out to eat. We didn't go out to eat. And we didn't have theme parks that we had to go spend money on. We didn't have all of this stuff. I'm just saying, you can be very creative. I can tell you that right here in the state of Georgia, there are some national parks really close by that you can get in for almost nothing, like $2 or $3 to go in. There are waterfalls in the state of Georgia that are unbelievable. Now, see, but we reason in our minds, we do this, we all do it, about our kids, that we're keeping them from doing something. I'm going to tell you something. A 7-year-old kid looking up at a waterfall that's 200 feet high, wow. There's not any rides any better than that. There's not. So to answer your question is, depending on where you are financially and how you work this, how quick you work it is, yep, some things have to be put on hold, but then you just become creative. You become creative. Go camping. Go camping. Find somebody that's going, some other people, and go in with them where it doesn't cost as much. Does that make sense? You just got to be creative. But see, don't let the mindset start spinning in here that says, I'm going to have to give up too much, because that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. The truth is, you're giving up stuff temporarily so that you can have so much more to do later on, that you can do unbelievable stuff and you can take some real vacations in the way we think of it in our mind. You'll have the money. See, the whole idea is there's a period of time that we have to do the work. And we have, because again, I want to say this, and I don't mean this whatever, but every one of us who's in a mess, we created it. We created it. That's how it happened. It wasn't handed to us. We created it. You got to clean up your mess. That's what you got to do. And it just takes a little while. Just takes a little while. But once you get it done, oh my gosh, you'll never want to go back. You'll never want to go back to that lifestyle again. You'll understand. All right? All right. I'm going to close tonight with, any other questions before I do that? Okay? And if you have any questions afterwards, feel free. I want to close tonight with a story you probably have never heard from this podium, either down here or up there, but I'm going to tell you the story of the three little pigs. It's been a long time, hadn't it? I looked it up, and I couldn't hardly remember all of this, but let me just read it to you, okay? Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. One pig built a house of straw, while the second pig built his house with sticks. They built their houses very quickly, and then they sang and danced because they were lazy. They did it quickly, and then they went and had fun. One with a house of straw, one with a house of sticks. Now the third little pig, well, he worked hard all day. While they were dancing and playing, he continued to build his house out of bricks. Took a little while. Took a little longer. It was harder. Well, you know the story, but I'm going to tell it to you again anyway. The big bad wolf came along. And he saw the two little pigs while they danced and played, and he thought, what juicy, tender meals they will make. So he chased the two pigs, and they ran and hid in their houses. And the big bad wolf went to the first house, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down in minutes. The frightened little pig ran to the second pig's house that was made out of sticks. The big bad wolf, he just came over to that house, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down in hardly any time. There it goes again. Now the two little pigs were terrified, and they ran to the third pig's house that was made out of bricks. The big bad wolf tried to huff and puff and blow the house down, but he couldn't. He kept trying for hours, but the house was very strong, and the little pigs were safe inside. He tried to enter through the chimney, but the third little pig boiled a big pot of water and kept it below the chimney. The wolf fell into it, and he died. The two little pigs now felt sorry for having been so lazy. Then they went and built their houses with bricks. And here's the key. And they lived happily ever after. See, they went back and did what they should have done in the beginning. I told you a minute ago, we create our own messes. And once we create them, again, nobody's mad at you. Just clean up the mess. Just clean it up. And then you can move on and everything will be great. And if you build your house then out of brick, oh, it'll be good. Because the story tells us you will live happy ever after. I want you to build your financial house. I want you to build it right. I want you to build it strong. I want you to build it the way God told us to build it. I want you to create a legacy. That's what managing your wealth is all about. Understand that you have inherited a legacy by whatever you were taught and whatever you are living right now. You inherited one and you're going to leave one. You get to decide if you leave the one that you learned that wasn't necessarily right or if you leave a different legacy for your children and for your children's children. You get to decide that. It's a decision. It involves work. It involves putting a brick house together. But it can be done with determination, a vision, and a plan. You have to manage what you have now. I'm going to ask you a question because we've all been blessed here already, managing our wealth. Are there blessings that you actually have right now that you're not taking care of? Does anything need repairing or painting? Are there blessings that you have that you hadn't even used? Just sitting there. Don't be wasteful. Every little thing adds up. Stop wishing that your situation would change and be determined to start the momentum. Start the momentum. I want you to be enthusiastic. I want you to get excited. Going through those steps, every time you have a victory, I want you to celebrate it. You're another step closer. You're another step closer. I want you to do what Linda did and claim what's yours. Just claim it. That's all you got to do. Claim it and then do it. Be committed and be determined. And be brave and be strong. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Before we can change anything in our life, we have to do something, and we have to do it with a sense of urgency. Stop settling for a comfort zone. make your mind up tonight to be committed and make your mind up to say that right now is when I'm going to change. And we're going to do that. Draw the line in the sand. Tired of playing games. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of acting like my retirement's never going to get here. I'm tired of acting like it doesn't matter. When we do, we can fulfill our big God-given dreams if we have that right now attitude. See, no matter what, today is going to turn into tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to turn into next week. The next week into the next decade, the next years. We can't stop it. But you can change it. Make a commitment to stop making excuses. Stop wishing life was fair. Stop blaming anybody else and be responsible. Take the time to look yourself in the mirror and ask, what is it about me that needs to change? Don't look at your husband and don't look at your wife. Don't look at your boss. Don't look at your friends. The only way to change is from within. That's all you control. Remember that everything starts with a thought. Make your plans positive and believe you can do it. I'm going to ask you to make the commitment for you and your family to make the change.